Chapter 1. Owen. I hold Zara close as the demons descend. The last of the defenders, bruised and bloodied, fall back to the huddled mass of former slaves while the Gorgons gather themselves before us, forming up ranks of red eyes and blackened steel. There's too many of them, I think, despair gripping my heart. This is going to be a slaughter. Readying my quill dagger, I step in front of Zara and fall into a comfortable fighting stance. Feet shoulder-width apart, and shoulders squared. Even against such overwhelming odds, I don't plan on letting them kill me without a fight. I'll go down protecting Zara for as long as I can. Yari, who's bleeding from a gash on his forehead and another on his shoulder, comes to stand next to me, his face set in grim determination as he hefts his spear. Others come too, their expressions drawn and scared but defiant as they stare down what they know to be their death. All right, you bastards, I growl, snarling at the army of demons. Come and get us! The Gorgons, their impenetrable ranks now fully formed, begin to march forward, their glowing eyes malevolent as they regard us eagerly. Bracing myself, I whisper a prayer to the light as the attackers cross the last few yards between us. Unexpectedly, a distant boom that reminds me of the rumblings of a storm shakes the air around us before the demons can begin their work of death. A strange, rippling sensation echoes through the fabric of the world around us, and everyone, both man and demon, looks about in confusion, sensing that something is about to happen. The rippling intensifies, joined by a groaning sound that emanates from the arc behind us. As one, we turn to see the surface of the veil pulse, its magic shivering. The image reminds me of a pond, disturbed by a thrown pebble, the undulating patterns running down the arc and growing more violent with each passing second. Then, an instant later, the bluish energy simply vanishes, dissipating like mist and evaporating into the hot desert sky. With an immense rush, freezing air blows out at us like an angry tempest, knocking many people down as if they were leaves caught in a winter gale. I drop my dagger and clutch Zara as the air washes over us, instantly chilling us to the bone and drenching us with icy droplets of snow. The screams of the terrified wastelanders are drowned out by the roar, but within a few moments all becomes still, icy mist rising like steam on the dry, arid land. The kingdom of Tarsinium lies open before us, the Emberwood still locked in the depths of winter. The sight is a stark contrast to the desolate world of the wastes, the boiling desert pressed against the lush, frozen landscape of my homeland. Only now, there is an enormous difference. Somehow, the Ark of Radiance is no more. The silence persists for several heartbeats, human and demon too stunned to speak or even move. I feel an odd mixture of amazement, shock, relief, and worry, emotions raging with one another for dominance within me. 11 hells! It's finally happened. The Ark of Radiance is gone. The thought is so surreal that for a moment I merely sit on the ground and stare at the cold world that it felt so far out of reach a few minutes before. Eventually, though, the heavy thud of boots and the clangor of metal pulls me back to reality. Tensing, I retrieve my fallen dagger, preparing myself for the attack that will undoubtedly end my life. Only the attack never comes. I turn to see the Gorgons running away, fleeing our drenched and huddled group, and making their way back to the hills. In a matter of minutes, all of them are gone, fled through the gap in the barricade and out of sight. "Light almighty," Zara breathes, her eyes wide and her hair askew. "What just happened?" "I'm not sure," I reply, getting to my feet before I help her up.
"The Ark. It just exploded."
"I know." I wipe the moisture from my face, then grimace when my hand comes back coated with demon blood. "I saw it too." She hits my arm.
"I'm serious, Owen. Do you have any idea what this means?"
Grunting, I slide my makeshift dagger into my belt. "It means that we have considerably less time to save the world than we thought." Around us, the wastelanders dazedly pick themselves up. The cold air from within the Ark still lingers, giving the atmosphere around us a biting chill that only worsens with the fact that we're all covered in melting snow. It's amazing that we're still alive, I think, looking about wearily. The timing of the Ark's demise couldn't have been more perfect. Did it finally give out before the mages could fix it? I'm about to comment on our good fortune when Zara wavers, her face going white as her knees buckle.
Zara!
I exclaim, catching her before she falls to the ground.
Are you all right?
Yes,
she replies after a moment, blinking bleary eyes as she pulls herself back up.
I'm just a little tired, that's all.
Frowning in concern, I let her lean heavily on my shoulder. Before the Ark had erupted, she'd used almost all her energy and the energy of her young initiates to defend everyone from the Gorgons and prepare a way for us to escape.
Well, it seems like we're out of immediate danger, I say after a moment.
The people of the Wastes seem subdued, sobered by the sudden and strange turn of events. Many whisper to one another and look fearfully at the new world before them.
You should rest while we gather our things together.
Then I suppose we should get moving.
There's no time for rest,
Zara objects, though she continues to lean against me for support.
Those Gorgons could come back and finish us off.
I don't think they'll be returning any time soon, I reply. They seemed just as surprised as us when the Ark came down. I have a feeling they're headed to the plains to join the rest of the R'lar's army. I let my words hang ominously in the air. Zara sighs, finally stepping away from me and gazing into the ember wood. She still seems unsteady, but her jaw is firmly set.
All right,
she says. We'll prepare ourselves for the journey. Let me speak with everyone, and then I promise that I will rest. Nodding, I move to check on the warrior youths while Zara addresses the crowd. Within minutes, everyone begins busying themselves with organizing their tents and provisions, their demeanor remaining unobtrusive as they whisper darkly among themselves. Yari and the other surviving youths, all battered and blood-stained, snap to attention as I approach, their spears against their shoulders and their postures unbent. Even after coming within an inch of death, they're still resolute, I think, marveling. Perhaps I'll make true soldiers out of them yet. Using my halting command of their language, I set up a perimeter to watch for the return of any demons. They jump into action without a word of complaint, rushing to the barricade to keep a wary eye on the hills. With the guard set, I aid the beleaguered desert folk in any way I can. I see to the wounded, calling upon my limited understanding of medicine, then set to gathering supplies. I start with my own tent first, rolling up the dusty leather and cinching it with fibrous cords, before I move on to help the others, loading provisions into various packs. It doesn't take long, however, for me to realize that the truly difficult task has yet to be done, the gathering of the dead. Working with several others, we start the grisly task of moving the corpses of the fallen defenders and lining them up neatly on the ground behind the barricade. There are far more than I'd anticipated. Rock throwers, spearmen, and even a few women and children fell to the Gorgon's blades. By the time we finish gathering all the bodies, my heart feels heavy as an anvil. Carefully, we layer the human corpses with brambles and broken lengths of dry wood, preparing a pyre. Leaving the demon remains where they are, we don't bother to move them, though I retrieve as many of my arrows as I can from their bodies, knowing I have no time or materials to make more. At some point during our labor, a distant streak of green light shoots into the air, originating from the plains miles away. Hundreds of feet in the sky, it seems to burst, creating a loud rumble as the emerald sparks dissipate. Within minutes, black clouds begin to form, spreading over the land like mold devouring a piece of bread. It doesn't take long until the hills are shattered by the roiling, thunderous clouds. That doesn't look good, I think, as everyone else continues their work, pointedly avoiding any glances at the darkening sky. A bad omen, to be sure. By the time we're finished working, dusk is fast approaching. Stepping away from the burial site, I blow into my cupped hands and rub them together for warmth. Ever since the Ark came down, the winter climate of Tarsinium has seeped into the wastes, covering the dry, arid landscape with frost. Everyone appears to be shivering as they huddle together, clothed only in their rough-spun garments, nothing close enough to stave off the chill. When I return to camp, Zara is up and moving about. She looks at me as I approach, offering an apologetic shrug.
I rested. Honestly. I feel much better now.
She smiles, but I can still see her fatigue, dark circles beneath her eyes belying her assertion. I nod, knowing full well there's nothing I can do to change her mind.
Everything seems to be in order now, I say gruffly. I think it's time we leave this place behind.
She glances up at the darkening sky.
It'll be night soon. Is it wise for us to leave?
Wiser than staying here where there's demons about, I reply. Besides, there's still an hour or two of light left. We'll be able to find somewhere to camp in the woods.
Zara glances apprehensively at the snow-covered trees. Leafless and shadowed, they look rather menacing, like skeletons standing in the gloom.
After all these weeks, a part of me thought we'd never see home again. Now that we're going back, I find myself uncertain, even a little afraid. I'm not sure why.
I take her hand and follow her gaze.
I feel the same way, I reply. Now that the Ark is gone, it doesn't really feel like we're going home.
She looks at me, her deep brown eyes seeming to search for something.
I'm not sure what the coming days will bring, Owen. So much is going on in the world. Without the Ark, I don't know what will happen.
Well, I know one thing for sure, I reply, giving her fingers a gentle squeeze. Whatever happens, you and I are going to be together. Nothing on Bahalia is ever going to change that. Not even the R'hllar.
She smiles faintly and kisses me, her soft lips banishing all thoughts of darkness and demons. The moment passes all too quickly, and the shuffling footfalls of the Wastelanders bring us back to reality. Turning, we set about making our final preparations to leave this place once and for all. With our supplies gathered, we surround the pyre, a mournful silence filling the frigid air. Zara uses a small spark of mage fire to light it, and the brambles quickly spring to life. Channeling even a small amount of magic seems painful for her, but fortunately she doesn't pass out from the strain. The flames consume the bodies, the heat rising as a black column of smoke drifts upward, disappearing into the sky. The warmth is strangely comforting, the light a beacon against the encroaching darkness. Everyone stands reverently, transfixed as they watch their fallen crumble into ash. After a few minutes, we depart the funeral pyre, wordlessly marching to the tree line in the snowy path leading through Tarsinium. Pausing, I glance at Zara, who nods resolutely, her cheeks already rosy from the cold. She wearily clutches her talisman, but she holds her head high, her face regal in the waning light. I place a hand on my dagger and take the first step into the Emberwood, turning my back on the wastes that were once to be our final destination.